we've really got two things to talk about. And these two things could not be farther in reality from each other in terms of how we feel about them, how they make us feel, how they make us think. And that, of course, is game two of the ALDS as the Guardians kicked the holy you-know-what out of the Tigers in game one. Like, at the end of Friday's show, we did the Bring on the Tigers bit because I was not living in my fears, and the Guardians rewarded us all, and myself, on Saturday with the big 7-0 win. Now, at the 4:08 today, you've got probably the toughest task that you will have in the playoffs because you have a bona fide ace in Tarik Skubal, and oh yeah, winner goes to Detroit. Okay, if you're the Guardians, you go up 2-0 feeling like you can sweep in Detroit and you've got a 3-game margin for error. If you're the Tigers, you probably feel like you're playing with house money if you get today's win because you would have split the home field advantage for the Gardos here. So, huge game there. Oh yeah, that other thing that makes us feel a certain sort of way, the opposite of the way that the Guardians make us feel, is the Browns didn't just lose yesterday. And I'm not preaching to you. You already know this, but just, you know, it's important for me to say it. The Browns got embarrassed on the road by the Washington Commanders, and they got embarrassed in a myriad of ways. They looked undercoached. They looked untalented. They looked dispirited. They looked like they quit on each other a multitude of times in that game. And it's funny, man, like I'm a big believer in this one principle. When people tell you who they are, listen, right? Because if somebody actually has, even if it's something negative, oh, you can't trust me, listen to them. If it's things you don't want to be true, listen to them. Because, and by the way, sometimes they don't say it. They don't outward that I'm not a good person. You just kind of have to listen to context clues. And it's wild that today is about, on one hand, the Cleveland Guardians going into game two of the ALDS with a chance to crack this series wide open. Can they do it? That's a great question. I know they can do it. Will they do it? Might be the more apropos question. And so I've watched the Guardians, right? And I've watched how they do business. And it's pretty simple. The Guardians organization is committed to their plan. You don't always like the plan. You wish the plan involved spending more money on things like free agents. But the one thing I can never accuse the Guardians of is not being committed to their own plan. And by the way, they've shown the dexterity to pivot off that plan if it's not working, a la last year at the deadline, selling off Aaron Civale and Josh Bell to save a little coin and get somebody named Manzardo onto this team. So I watch the Guardians and they're committed. Sometimes they're overly committed, right? Oh, why can't you act against type this once? And then we go to the Cleveland Browns. And I'll be honest with you guys, I do think the Browns are better than where they were when Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski walked in the door. All right? Low bar. They walked in the door for Freddie Kitchens and John Dorsey, who apparently just couldn't get along with anybody. Let alone Paul DePodesta, let alone anybody with analytics in their title. So the bar was pretty low. Stop screwing up. Win as many games as you can. And they've done that some of the time. But what I've noticed, even with two very smart, well, three if you want to include Paul DePodesta, what I've noticed is this habit of trying to shortcut progress, right? The Deshaun trade. Didn't matter that you had a starting quarterback. Didn't matter that you still had time to deal with a fifth-year option on that starting quarterback. Deshaun represented the option to bypass the rest of Baker's development, make a decision on whether you think he could do it, and then get somebody that looked like a franchise quarterback previously in his career. Okay, there were a lot of things that went with that, but that's the theory. Let's shortcut the development here and take the risk out of if we're wrong about Baker Mayfield. Because if we're wrong about Baker Mayfield, people get fired. And in the NFL, you have to stay one step ahead of the guy with the itchy trigger finger, a.k.a. your boss. But it's not just that. Look at all the one-year deals, right? Well, technically, they're now two-year deals because a lot of last year started as a one-year deal. Why do you have that? Well, because that's a shortcut because you can't draft for bleep. Or you can't consistently draft for bleep. Now, some of that is that you gave up three firsts and seconds and thirds and every which way, every which thing for Deshaun Watson. But again, you still probably could use an extra player or two from each one of these drafts, specifically looking at things like defensive tackle and maybe wide receiver. But I digress. So the organizations, night and day. One organization is saying, we don't spend money, all right? But, or we don't spend money on free agents. We spend money on developing our own players and creating an ecosystem where we can get the best out of every player that we have, right? And oh, by the way, we really care about things like player development. We really care about how we approach talent when they're here. We care about things like developing a great pitching staff. And then with the Browns, it is, all right, we just want to win as much as we possibly can, and we're going to try and do everything we can to do that, including spending every single dollar. But they keep shortcutting the most important thing, which is the one thing the Guardians have, which is a commitment to learning how to win, because it's not the same every year. This year is presenting obstacles that weren't last year. And all of a sudden, some of the variables have changed, and all of a sudden the Cleveland Browns can't fight their way, almost said something else, fight their way out of a paper bag. But here's the thing, the differences between these two organizations go even farther. The Guardians in that clubhouse, they play smart and they play hard. The Browns make every simple mistake. I'm seeing like high school level mistakes that I'm seeing. 12 men on the field, three times in a row, really? You do not pass go, you do not get your $200. You don't get anything other than have to kick a field goal and the optics that it looked like your highest paid player walked off the field at that moment. Oh, but now the Guardians, they play for each other. The Browns clearly do not play for each other. As far as I can tell, most of these guys at the very least play for some of the other guys, but not all the guys. And some of those guys just play for themselves. Well, the Guardians play to win. The Browns play scared. The Browns front run, right? There's a little bit of that with the Guardians, but mostly the Guardians you can trust, even if they're not having a good night in one fashion or another, that they're going to show up, play hard, keep a good attitude, and stay in games. It's not what the Browns are doing. So when people tell you who they are, either directly or indirectly, believe them. The Guardians, worthy of your time. The Guardians, worthy of your focus, worthy of your dollars, worthy of your efforts, your mentality, and honestly, putting your mentality tied up to one of their results. The Browns could not care less. The Guardians are incredibly likable. And while I still love the Cleveland Browns, I don't know I like this edition of them. Because all I hear are, media people ask dumb questions. Oh, well, hey, missed tackles aren't the issue. That happens all in the NFL. You bet your sweet ass. We're going to be talking about that at some point in this hour. It is just, it could not be more on display in a more brighter fashion. The difference between the Cleveland Guardians, an imperfect organization, but one that every time they contend, we go, they're getting the most out of what they're getting. And no matter how much money, no matter how much hope and wishing and praying that we do, no matter what you do for the Cleveland Browns, they cannot put it together consistently. And now we seem on the verge of this point in history where it seems pretty unlikely the Browns are going to have back-to-back winning seasons, which would be for the first time since 88 and 89. And there are a lot of really important questions today, which is, should they bench Deshaun Watson? And as somebody who has been conflated with being the ultimate Deshaun apologist, let me first just say, Deshaun played abhorrently yesterday. Not bad, not, meh, I think he can do better. No, Deshaun looked awful yesterday. Any of the things that we saw in the Raiders game, we saw the opposite in this game. Indecisive, not confident, bailing out of plays a little too early, holding onto the ball a little too early, and then it sure seemed like he's getting frustrated with what's going on around him, which then paints him as now he's got an attitude problem too. But then I got to worry about Kevin Stefanski. Did the new offense break Kevin Stefanski? Have we even seen the new offense? Is Kevin Stefanski part of the problem or part of the solution? And the answer is, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Oh, hey, Jim Schwartz, it'd be great if you could coordinate a defense again worth a lick of salt. But I guess we're not there. Jim, and our comments on Jim, probably going to have to wait until tomorrow. Because that's what bleep storm the Cleveland Browns have walked into. So today is a very nice reminder. We've got an incredible, listen, we have an incredible opportunity for the Cleveland Guardians to go up 2-0. And if you win this game today, guys, you squelch the hope of the Detroit Tigers. I know that means you got to do it one more time, but believe me, this Tigers team, we're going to see how they react to losing, and then we're going to see how they might be able to react to two losses. So the Guardians have an opportunity to get that next win, which would then put them 9 wins away from their first World Series title since 1948. So we're not going to let the Browns ruin our day today. They ruin our Sunday, but they can't ruin every day. We'll ask the hard questions. We're actually going to have some fun because screw getting pissed about a team that clearly does not care. But if you'd like another reminder about why the Guardians are where they are and why the Browns are where they are, it comes down to, are you committed to the process of consistently chasing winning? That takes commitment to a singular process instead of every time, every turn, looking for someone to blame or looking for someone to scapegoat. One team perfects, or at least works on, hones their approach to winning. The other says, well, identities don't matter. Neither do missed tackles. Neither do doing things the right way with who you bring in and what your team stands for. Could not be more obvious what today is about. Not another loss for the Cleveland Browns. 216-474-0092. As we get started, Anik Wilson says, I for some reason, I was going to give somebody else's Twitter account out. No, social media reactions brought to you on X by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. But I'll just add, what did you learn this weekend about the two teams that we're here to talk about today? What did you learn about the Guardians? What did you learn about the Browns? We have plenty to get to on that. We've got Nathan Zagura come up at 3. We've got Around the NFL at 4:20. The 5 at 5 at 5. Darryl Ryder coming up at 6 o'clock. And JP joins the show as my co-host coming up at 4 o'clock today. But what did Saturday's win and Sunday's loss signal to you? And one down, 10 to go for the Gardos. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.